Namaste. The Buddha said something quite radical. He said there is one thing, when cultivated and regularly practiced, leads to deep spiritual integration, to peace, to mindfulness and clear comprehension, to vision and knowledge, to a happy life here and now, and to the culmination of wisdom and awakening. Come back tomorrow night and I'll tell you what that is. That one thing, mindfulness centered on the body. That's quite a promise. How can this aging bag of bones actually lead to liberation? For many years, I had just assumed the reason I had a body was to make my head portable. But actually, the body is the doorway. So tonight, I'd like to talk about a number of things. First, to talk a little bit about the detail of the phenomena that arise when you contemplate the body. And to talk a little bit about some questions, some inquiries you can use when you're actively investigating what's happening on the inside. I'd like to talk a little bit, too, about the relationship between what you believe and what you feel. Be a very powerful form of inquiry. And a little bit about who you are as this being of awareness and its relationship to who you are as this being of feeling. How many times have you brought yourself back? Just coming back to reboot, you know, to re-inhabit the body. And chances are, as you have been in your contemplation of the body, you've probably noticed a number of things. That it's always changing. Sometimes it's pleasurable and deeply enjoyable. Sometimes it's really unpleasant and almost impossible to stay in the body. Sometimes there's not a lot going on, and it's kind of boring. Maybe you've noticed how high maintenance your body is, always demanding food and water and walk and rest and exercise and sleep and relaxation and elimination. It's a pretty high maintenance affair. And you might also notice how subjective your experience is. And sometimes the cool air of the air conditioning can feel really soothing, and other times it might feel really enervating. Sometimes you walk in and the meal is very pleasing to the senses. Sometimes it's maybe not. And so you're this mind-body matrix. I've often wondered, what comes first, a feeling or a thought? Do you think about lunch and then notice you're hungry, or is it the other way around? That there's something in your gut that stimulates a thought about yet another gluten-free vegetarian meal waiting for you. Have you ever wondered, now that everything is gluten-free, what are they doing with all the gluten? What my mind does when I meditate. So I'd like to offer a little experiential inquiry into what are called the foundations of awareness, about the different aspects of what arises out of the embodied experience. So to start off with, I thought it might be nice to get a little bit energized. So you can just shake out your hands. You might deepen your breath a little bit. And if you feel at all self-conscious, just remember that if you close your eyes, no one can see you. And shake them out a little more vigorously. And then just rest your hands, palms up, right in front of your chest. And let your awareness flow into the hands. Just make contact with the aliveness here. Relax the fingers and thumbs, relax the palms, and just feel. How How would you describe this as? Vibration, pulse, tingling, subtle energy, particles of energy. And you might now just slowly let your hands float down to your lap. And with your eyes closed, just sense the aliveness here. There is one aspect of who you are as this embodied energetic being that is simply energy, vibration, particles and waves. And as you contemplate the body, you might explore an arising of what is called Vedana. As you sense through the body, notice if you can locate any zones of sensation you might call unpleasant. How specifically can you locate them if they're there? As you scan and contemplate the body, can you locate any areas that feel pleasant, that have a quality of enjoyment, free flowing? And can you sense here a third category of sensation, which we could call neutral, neither pleasant nor unpleasant? And for the next few moments, again, sense how intimately you can locate these qualities of feeling, a pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, and sense their proximity in relationship to each other. And you may notice that arising out of Vedana, this play of unpleasant, pleasant, and neutral, there arises a natural, spontaneous commentary from the mind. That which you like, that which you don't like, that which you're bored with. And just to contemplate yet another foundation of awareness here. And that is the recognition of the kinds of thoughts that arise. The thoughts that might fall in the category of aversion. The thoughts that might fall under the category of wanting or desire. Qualities of mind that may be confused. The recognition of how what arises here is a reflection of reality, seeing into the nature of impermanence, how it all changes. Seeing into the nature of what you hold on to may result in some form of unsatisfactoriness. That what you can let go or let freely move will have a quality of ease and pleasure. All of this arising from the body. And you might deepen your breath. And as you're ready, if you like, you can let your eyes open or feel free to remain with them closed. A question you can ask any time in your practice is, what is happening right now? That question is the seed of wisdom. It helps you identify clearly what is here, not your story or embellishment or preference, but what's really here. And when you look to the body, you may notice that on one level there is this play of energy, of chi or ki or Holy Spirit or prana or animus, whatever you may call it, this life force that animates your body, undifferentiated energy. And without even being aware of it, you'll notice how all that energy will form into pleasant and unpleasant and neutral. And without even being aware of that, you'll notice the mind reacting. Unpleasant, you want to make go away. Pleasant, you want to strategize to keep. The neutral, it's kind of boring. And from this place of the observer, as you notice the kinds of thoughts that arise, there's a quality of wisdom that can emerge. Have you noticed that there are certain stories that have repeated themselves in your meditation these days? Have you identified your top 10? Just the top 10 playing stories coming through. And more than that, you can begin to recognize and to see into the nature of what is happening on this foundation referred to as the Dhammas. It's the recognition of the lists and the categories that are part of this practice. To see into the three characteristics of reality, of change and your relationship to change and the nature of self. You can begin to recognize that the Four Noble Truths, that stress and suffering is universal, that any form of stress or suffering has a cause, that whatever you're holding on to, it's possible to let go. And there's a path, strategies, techniques, observances that will help you in this practice of letting go. And it's interesting how all of this is happening by itself. Just this flow of sensation, the forming of Vedana, the thought forms all happening, and that which is aware of all that is happening. All arising out of the body. There's quite a lovely kind of chain of causality I find helpful to remember, that at this very basic level, there's just pure energy, pure sensation. It forms into feeling, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. From there, it moves into thought. If you think the same thought over and over and over again, that thought calcifies into a belief. If you're not aware of the beliefs in your life, they will form habits. If you're not aware of the habits, they form your character. And if you're not aware of your character, that becomes your destiny. So inside this movement of feeling and sensation and thought and reactivity, there's something else going on. There's something that's aware of all of this. There's something that's aware of the sensations. There's something that's aware of your reaction to the sensations. There's something that's aware of the thought forms that come up, the calcified beliefs. There's something that's aware of your habits and how that forms your life. And you can't stop this stream of sensation. And you can't not be aware. It's just a natural play. This quality of awareness, some traditions call the witness or the observer. Ajahn Chah refers to it as the one who knows. It's tapping into this quality of awareness that has some particular characteristics. It has no opinions. It has no preferences. It's not judging. It's just simply aware of what is. What is that quality of awareness? Described in different ways by different traditions as a quality of luminosity. I love the description of his empty, cognizant, compassionate cognition. How about that? So when you ask yourself, what is happening right now? And you look closely, you can begin to see there is this incredible play of arising and reactivity and formation around this constant movement. And that's all well and good. But this ushers in a second inquiry, a second question. And that is, can you be with this? Which is the seed of compassion. Your capacity to be with the stress and the suffering, to be with the physical pain, to be with the emotional turmoil, the mental fixations, the wild states of consciousness that come through. How do you be with it? And Tara spoke beautifully about that last night. The practice of radical compassion, the skillful means of how you can open your heart to what is happening and to bear and embrace what is happening. And so we're training ourselves how to pay attention. One way is cultivating concentration, to pay attention on purpose. Very, very useful. It's calming. It's settling. It invokes presence. It gives you the stability to stay with the fluctuations that arise. Another is this quality of mindfulness, or what I think of as non-judging awareness. Your capacity to be aware of this flow and this stream without judging. And yet another practice is surrender. Your capacity to rest in effortless awareness. A very helpful tool that in your practice can be the power of inquiry, the power of questions that can help you to investigate what's arising. In this particular tradition of Vipassana, as we have been speaking, as Pat shared this morning, that we use concentration to arrive. So you use whatever anchor that's skillful for you to bring yourself into presence. Developing concentration, very, very skillful. But as I like to say, there are a lot of very concentrated people on this planet who are miserable. So we bring in the mindfulness, the non-judging awareness. And as you were offered the instructions this morning, that when something strong arises, something persistent, you can then move your attention from the anchor to investigate that phenomena, to look closely at it. I spoke kind of generally the other day about having tea with your demons, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the art of making tea. How to more intimately be with what it is that's arising. It's a very interesting question that arises, and I imagine it's one that you may have explored in your practices, that when something arises, when do you actually move from your anchor to investigate it? And that's a very intuitive process. It's something you'll find as you develop in your practice. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But when something arises, physical pain, emotional turmoil, mental turmoil, whatever that is, you may recall that Tara said yesterday that suffering is usually at odds with reality. So when you turn toward the stress, when you turn toward the suffering, you're investigating into what is it really? To really clearly see it and to know it. And when you can do that, that's when compassion can flow, to really know what it is. So the fundamental of this practice is to the two questions. What is happening right now? And can I be with this? Can I let this be? So when we come back to the body, when you touch into the energy, the chi, the ki, the Holy Spirit, animus, prana, whatever you may call it. It's fascinating to really sense what this energy is. It animates your body. It knows how to heal. If you break a bone, it knows how to mend it. And to my mind, that energy is intelligent. It's evolutionary, and we're developing our relationship with it. The mind tends to tune out the voice of the body. How many times has your body said, I need to pee, and you ignore it? Or I need to go to sleep, and one more chapter. Or I'm full, and you override that wisdom of the body. In this relationship between energy and awareness, the mind tends to dominate and override this natural innate intelligence of the body. We override it until it starts screaming at us. So the question becomes, how do we change that relationship? A mystic said, here inside this body are the sacred rivers. Here are the sun and moon, as well as all the pilgrimage places. I have not encountered another temple like my own body. And this is what the Buddha speaks of, this inner journey. There's a beautiful story by a teacher of influence for me, Eugene Genlin, who created a work called Focusing. And he was exploring this mind-body connection. And he was observing someone who was doing some inquiry, doing some therapeutic work. And she was describing a difficult relationship that she was having with her sister. And she said, I am so pissed at my sister. And then she closed her eyes. And then she said, I'm disappointed in my sister. And he thought, what just happened? Here's a story from the mind. But when she closed her eyes and she checked in, that story did not resonate with the feeling in her body. When she tuned into the body had a very different story. It's not pissed, it's disappointed. What a powerful shift. Whenever you make that shift from the narrative or the cognitive and tune in to what is happening on the inside, inevitably you will come in contact with something that's true. And we speak of the circle with the line through it. Above the line is what you're aware of. Below the line is what you're not aware of. When you turn your attention to what we call the felt sense of how your body holds a thought, a memory, a feeling of pain, an emotion, you will come into a deeper, more intimate contact with that. This felt sense, when you tune in to what you're really feeling on the inside, has a couple different qualities to it. You might notice how sometimes what you're feeling on the inside will feel strong and unmistakable. You can't miss it. It's that sick, twisted feeling in your guts, like something terrible is going to happen. It's the ache in your heart. It's the lump in your throat. It's the burning around your eyes, like you're going to cry. You can't miss it. Have you noticed sometimes in your practice, as you're investigating something or just being present, how a feeling or a mood will just come through like a wave and disappear? Like, wow, some sadness came through, but I can't find it now. So sometimes the body communicates in these like flickers or waves. The third quality, and this is really where the really interesting work is, and the kind of work that we can do only when we get settled, is that felt sense, that intelligence of the body, how it will be communicating to you, because it's below the line, is it will feel unformed. It'll feel vague. It'll feel amorphous. Have you had an experience in these days where you're just thinking, there's something here. I don't know what it is yet. But that magic word something is very, very helpful when you're doing this investigation. There's just something kind of heavy over my heart. There's something like this feeling like something's terribly wrong. I don't quite know what it is yet. I'd like to share with you a reading. And I don't know who wrote this. The story is it was written by a doctor of Chinese medicine that speaks really beautifully about the body's, what the body holds and what the body is here to offer you if you can really tune in and listen. It's rather lengthy. I've edited a little bit, but you might close your eyes. And in your own way, you might just sense this innate voice inside coming from your body. I am the pain in your head, the knot in your stomach, the unspoken grief in your smile. I am your hot flashes, your cold hands and feet, your agitation and your fatigue. I am your shortness of breath, your fragile low back, the cramp in your neck, the despair in your sigh. I am where you hurt, the fear that persists, the sadness of your dreams unfulfilled. I am your symptoms, the cause of your concern, the signs of imbalance. You tend to disown me, suppress me, ignore me, inflate me, coddle me, or condemn me. I'm not coming forth from myself as I am not separate from you. I come for your attention so that I can reveal my secrets. I have only your best interests in heart as I seek health and wholeness simply by announcing myself. Usually you want me to go away immediately or disappear or slink back into obscurity. Many times you're frightened or shocked by my arrival, and so you medicate me in order to eradicate me. Or you ignore me or not explore me. But I ask you, I'm a messenger with good news, as disturbing as I can be at times. I am wanting to guide you back to those tender places in yourself, the place where you can hold yourself with compassion and honesty. If you look beyond my appearance, you may find that I am a voice from your soul. I am calling you from places deep within that seek your conscious alignment. I may ask you to get more sleep or exercise or breathe more consciously. I might encourage you to see a vaster reality and worry less about the day-to-day fluctuations of your life. I may ask you to explore the bonds and the wounds of your relationships. I may remind you to be more generous and expansive and attend to protecting your heart from insult. I might ask you to laugh more, spend more time in nature, eat when you're hungry and not when you're bored. I am your friend, not your enemy. I have no desire to bring pain and suffering into your life. I'm simply tugging at your sleeve. Allow me to speak to you in a way that enlivens your higher instincts for self-care. Listen to me with the sensitive ear and heart of a mother attending to her precious baby. You are a being so vast, with amazing capacities for self-regulation and healing. Let me lead you to the mysterious core of your being. where insight and wisdom are available when called upon with a sincere heart. If you like, you can deepen the breath. If you like, you can let your eyes open. There is this still small voice that is unavailable when we live in the mind. And there is this still small voice that is available when we can tune in and deeply listen. And so we have the practice of RAIN, to recognize what is here, to ask if you can allow, make room for it. And then the investigation, this investigation into this presence, this felt sense inside, and the invitation to explore how to nurture it, how to bring compassion and empathy. It's a story that I've shared before, but kind of apropos to an interview today, I thought I might share it as a process I went through on retreat many years ago. I had been the president of a large nonprofit and reached the time when it was time to go. And no departure is ever easy. And part of that departure was some breakdown in communications with some people. And I felt quite hurt by some people who I felt were friends and allies who weren't. And so I went off to a retreat for my own healing. And I did a month-long retreat at Spirit Rock. And as I was sitting, probably the second or third week, I developed this very intense pain kind of in the mid-upper back. It just would not go away. I've spent a lifetime trained in yoga and yogic techniques, so I threw everything I had at it. Pranayama techniques, visualization techniques, hot yoga, cold yoga, lying down yoga, active yoga, moving yoga. Nothing would budget. And so I met with my teacher and I described this and what I was doing. And he offered this radical observation. He said, maybe you're dealing with it superficially. He said, have you tried just being with it? And it had never occurred to me. And so I decided to be with it, to not try to fix it, to not try to make it go away, but to deeply listen to it. It was this phenomena where the sensations would get so intense, and then I would move, and I'd get like a little chiropractic adjustment, you know, crack, 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 and it would ease, and I'd feel great, and it would form again. It was like 3 or 4, maybe 5 days of this, and then build to excruciating pain. So as I was sitting with it, I thought, I am just going to be with it. You know, I could recognize it. I could see it. I said, okay, I'm going to make room for this. I actually said, I'm willing to die to know what this is. I'm going to stay with this no matter what. I pretty much had it. And so I began the investigation. Now, on these sensation, thought, feeling, belief, habit, character. I spent a lot of time around belief and thought. Well, what could this be? I wonder what this could be from. Maybe I should try this. I'm not sure that's really working. I wonder if it's related to that time when I hurt my back. Maybe you've hung out on that realm a little bit. So I came back to the core practice of bringing it to that level of pure sensation and vedana, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So I began to describe it. And one of the ways to really bring a deepening awareness to what's happening is to really try to describe, as if you're describing it to someone in a way they could recreate the same sensations. It'll sharpen your attention. So as I was describing it, I was like, well, this, you know, this feels like pulsing red hot pain. And then it would shift. Well, now this feels like waves of red hot pain. Now this feels like flames of pulsating pain. And now it's a white pulsating pain. And now this white pulsating pain is getting very, very sharp and pointed. And this feels like the point of a knife. This feels like I'm being stabbed in the back. And my eyes flew open. And suddenly was this recognition that I had felt stabbed in the back. And I can feel the emotion just as I'm describing it. That recognition. And then, again, I close my eyes. And there's something in the seeing of it that allows it to begin to move even more. And it began to shift and move. So I began to explore, well, can I offer kindness? Can I bring some empathy to this feeling? And I continued to describe it to myself. Well, this is anger. And I could feel the waves of anger. This is revenge. I could feel the waves of revenge. And then this feels like hurt. And I would be with that. And this feels like shame. And I would be with that. And then it began to move without my bidding to beginning to sense the other person. And I began to recognize that for him, he was frightened of losing his job. He threw me under the bus. But I got his fear. I understood his fear. And as I rode that wave, and I checked back in, free-flowing sensation. Now, in a way, I hesitate to share that story because it's so dramatic, and you know, it's kind of got a neat bow on it. A lot of times when you do this inquiry, it's not necessarily tied up in a neat bow. You may spend time really getting that underneath that anger is deep hurt. And that'll take its own time to attend to it with compassion and empathy. What I often find is when I'm encountering some form of stress or suffering, and again, if it's a thought, it's tied to an emotion and it lives on the inside. Your issues are in your tissues. So there are questions that I find to be helpful to help to direct your attention a little bit on the inside. And if you'd like, I'd like to offer a little guidance that you might explore this a little bit, to explore some of the questions that can help you direct your intention inside a little bit. Now, this process of rain is, there are two words I like to use. One is it's organic. It has its own time. The other way of translating that is it's sloppy. You know, it doesn't follow a linear form. So some of the questions I might offer for you to explore, they may not resonate at all. And so don't worry about that. They're just sort of little questions you might have in your kit bag. So if you like, you can close your eyes. And you may take some time just to reflect on something current today that you may have touched into that was challenging for you. You might reflect back on the forgiveness practice this afternoon if there's anything that feels maybe a little bit incomplete. A powerful thing to explore that's part of, as you do that assessment for forgiveness, is to reflect on your regrets. There's something in your life that you've touched on that you regret. So take a little time to go through the files. To reflect on, is there something right now that would like some attention? Is there something in your life that's between you and feeling free or happy that would like a little deeper investigation? And if you need a little more time to clarify what that might be, just raise your hand. okay, we'll take a little bit, just another few moments. And again, if you need a little more time. You might begin to deepen your breath. The R of rain is recognizing what's here. And you might find it helpful to bring it a little closer. It might be helpful to visualize this particular issue. You might see it as a static image or a moving image. As you reflect on this issue, you may just recall, is there anything auditory about this you can recall? Words or tone of voice or sounds? And there are questions you might ask that can open the A, allowing or accepting. Does it feel safe? Does it feel okay to move into a little deeper investigation right now? If not, it's absolutely fine to turn your attention somewhere else. If you have a sense that it's okay to move into a little deeper investigation, you might explore some of the following questions. As you reflect on this issue, what felt sense forms on the inside? You might sense through the midline and the core, the jaw, the throat, the heart, the belly. This felt sense may take time to form, or do you notice it arising as strong or more subtle or vague? To move into a deeper, intimate experience of it, what words might you use to describe it to another person so that they could recreate the same sensations on the inside? Does this feeling, this felt sense inside, does it have a shape? How intimately can you locate it? Is there an emotional word that might match or resonate with this feeling? And if so, you might check back with the felt sense inside and just verify whether that word really matches or resonates with the feeling on the inside. This next question may resonate or may not. If this felt sense feeling inside had a message for you, what might it say? What might it want you to know? And you might imagine its point of view of what it's like from its perspective. And you might explore these following questions that can begin to draw in some empathic, compassionate listening. Is there a sense of what this needs? Is there a sense of how this wants you to be with it right now? And if you were to offer that freely, or if you were to hold this in some kind of loving presence, some compassion or empathy or kindness, how does it move or shift or change? Can you track that felt shift inside? Notice what may have shifted in these last few minutes in your inquiry. And if you have any judgment of how you did this or how you didn't, can you let that fall away? Hold that with some compassion. As you're ready, you can deepen the breath. If you like, you can open your eyes. I hope those questions were helpful. And if not, you may just to recall that when you are exploring, when you're investigating in the body, to really sense how intimately you can feel. Sense its location. If you find an emotional word, check back in and sense if that resonates. And whatever you find, if you can offer it some form of compassion or empathy, track how it moves and shifts and changes. This investigation can be very helpful when you're caught in some form of suffering or stress. But it's also very helpful when you're experiencing moments of freedom, moments of compassion, moments of expansiveness, to actually investigate and get familiar with those states can be a wonderful thing. If you experience random attacks of happiness or joy, investigate that. Get familiar with those states because they are also part of this human experience. There's another element, and we have just a few minutes left, but I want to name this because it can be very, very helpful. So much of our practice is moving from thinking back to the body, coming back to that primary level of how your experience is arising in the here and now. But you may find at some points in your practice the awareness of a consistent belief, of some strong belief, or you may find when you're really caught a question you can ask yourself, what am I believing right now? Sometimes I'll ask, what story am I believing right now? And there's a particular inquiry you can do. And I'm just going to describe it. We won't have time to really explore it, but to tell you a story, a brief story. I was working with a man who was very, very successful in life. He was partnered with his father, but was dealing with a huge amount of stress. And we did this inquiry together of, you know, recognizing, allowing, investigating, naming. And he realized that despite all his worldly success in the world, that what he was feeling on the inside was shame. a deep sense of shame, and a lot of it was in relationship with his father. And as we explored that, I said, what would you say is the core belief? What are you believing? And he said, I'll never be good enough. So we explored a few questions to actually investigate that belief. First, I asked, is it true? His response was, well, yeah, it's true. The second question, is it really true? Do you absolutely know that it's true? I said, well, intellectually, I know it's not true, but it sure feels like it. And this is where the investigation comes in. When you can identify a core belief, you can ask yourself, what felt sense forms when I think that thought? How does your body hold that belief? So we began this active investigation. And he noticed that he felt very tight inside. He felt very small. He was a little bit hunched over. That in relationship to his father, who was a very hard-driving, judgmental man, who never let up on him. And he just drilled into him this sense of, I will never be enough. When you get that somatic connection to a belief, when you really get how that lives on the inside. And one question I asked him was, how old is that feeling? How old is that tight, crunched up, small, hunched over feeling? He said, it's my earliest memory. And so he really got how he had lived with that somatic belief on the inside. When he was in touch with it, I then asked him a question that is akin to taking out the samurai sword. I said, who are you without that belief? And I watched him move from here to sitting up, to feeling, watching his chest open, his face, which was completely pale, began to flesh out. And he touched into, through the felt sense of his body, who he was without that thought. And whether that was a glimpse or whether it was a sense of his true nature, unimpinged by that belief, was a powerful altering experience for him. I want to name this because it can be a helpful process as you settle into your practice. However, there is a shadow side to this, which I need to name, and that it can quickly become cerebral. It can quickly become trying to figure it out. Okay, I'm going to root out this belief and rip it out. I'll never be run by it again. So it's very, very important to remember that your mind-body matrix, that if at times you find yourself aware of a very strong belief, take the time as you do the investigation to really intimately and deeply sense the relationship between that thought and how it lives on the inside. And when you have a strong kinesthetic sense of it, you can then ask yourself, who am I without it? And then just wait. Keep your attention present to the body and notice that felt shift. Just sense where it may take you. This always brings up a question, again, of how much are we doing in this practice and how much do we just let it be? It's very easy to get caught into the doing practice. I remember once I was riding this wave. It had to do with a very difficult relationship, and I went through these practices, and I felt a shift, and I felt a spaciousness and openness, and then almost immediately I found myself going, okay, what's next? You know, come on, what's next? It's easy to get into that self-improvement. It's so helpful to remember that such an important part of this practice is resting in awareness. You don't have to look for things to work on. I promise you, they will find you. It's a beautiful story of Ramana Maharshi, kind of a wonderful non-dual teacher who would invite, people would come and talk to him. And there was this one guy who was really into healthy living. And he was like trying to teach Ramana about healthy living. He said, well, these are the exercises I do, and this is the, you know, the oils I use on my skin, and these are the yoga practices I do, and this is what I eat, and that's how I've got this body. And Ramana said, he said, that is wonderful. You'll have the best looking corpse in the graveyard. And it really speaks to two parts of the path. There's this, the path of self-improvement. You know, you're going to be a better person. You're going to be clearer, stronger. You're going to open your heart. A better communicator, a better partner. All of that is wonderful. But there's another practice, which is the path of liberation. Of resting in presence, of opening to your true nature. And so we explore in our practice kind of the willful practice of concentration, of arriving. And when you arrive, you open, you broaden your attention to be aware of what is arising. You feel the flow of what's passing through. Much of those of the flow is just passing through effortlessly. Some things arise that are tight. They're sticky. There's pain. There's attachment. There's suffering. And when you sense that, that is when you can pause. Have tea. To ask, can I be with it? Does it feel safe? And then to explore, how intimately can you open to that felt sense on the inside? Sense this location. Is there an emotional quality here? How does it want you to be with it? There are some elements of working with what's below the line. One of them is that what you come in contact with, it may feel vague or unformed. I like to think of it as a wild animal at the edge of the woods. You know how it is when you see a deer in the woods? You can't chase it. You can't lure it in. But you can let it know you see it, and it knows that you see it. You can also think of this when you're doing this deep investigation. It's like you're holding an animal that doesn't have words. Or you're holding a small child that can't tell you verbally what it wants. But what it does is it calls on you to open all of your intuitive faculties. To open to that deep, tender listening. And with patience and kindness, you can begin to come in contact with something that's wanting your attention. This is the kind of work that we can most effectively do in this shared space. You have given yourself so fully and so beautifully to these practices, cultivating more calm, cultivating more presence. And we are now heading into the belly of the retreat. This is a time when you can give yourself more fully to everything that will support you. This is where the restraint with awareness can be so helpful. To really embrace the silence. Let the silence enhance self-awareness. As best you can, let the distractions fall away and trust this mysterious arising on the inside. Tara spoke so beautifully of this cultivation of radical compassion, of what it means to embrace what's here. And I'd like to explore, to kind of close with a reading that I love, after we've talked about so much of the skillful means of investigation and doing, that really kind of speaks to this incredible mystery of this embodied life. So if you like, you can close your eyes. As you feel the breath, you might sense if you can just make contact with the the vibrancy of energy, of aliveness. This play of energy that is pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, shifting and changing. The spontaneous narrative that arises, and who you are as the one who is aware. And the words I'll be sharing with you are from a meditation master who gave a talk to the children in the ashram. So you might imagine yourself as this child, hearing these words from this teacher. Nobody, not mom or dad or grandmother or grandfather or big sister or big brother or teachers or doctors or soldiers or reverends or athletes or lawyers or TV stars or people who are working or any people who are playing, not even a king or a queen, not even people who love each other know what a single thing is. It is a great and wonderful mystery to all of us that anything is or that we are. And whether somebody says, I don't know how anything came to be, or God made everything, they are simply pointing to the feeling of the mystery of how everything is. But nobody knows what it really is or how it came to be. As long as we go on feeling this mystery, we feel free and full and happy, and we feel and act free and full and happy to others. This is the secret of being happy, from the time you're small to the time you're old. If you will remember to feel the mystery, and if you will remember to feel that you are more than what you look like, and if you will remember to be the mystery itself, then you'll be happy. You will feel happy and help and love others, even those who are having trouble feeling happy or even trying to make you forget the mystery. I hope you will remember to feel the mystery every day as long as you are awake. The best thing to tell anyone is to remember to feel this. I have been doing this for a long time, and it is the best and most important feeling of all. I'm happy I could tell you this. At least you and I will always know that at least one other person somewhere is remembering and feeling and loving the mystery right now. Namaste. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.